Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading, Jesus tells us three parables to describe the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, a sought after pearl of great price, and a fishing net. Now, historically, it's been most common for preachers and hymn writers to identify the hidden treasure and the expensive pearl as Jesus and his kingdom. Thus, the farmer and the merchant represent the people who listen to Jesus, and then all people from all times, either through stumbling across Jesus or searching for him, find him and then determine whether or not Jesus and his kingdom is worth something selling everything for. Now, there's a different interpretation, and that is where the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl and the farmer and the searching is Jesus. We are the hidden treasure. Jesus does the searching. That's consistent with Romans 6. Apostle Paul tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If the treasure of eternal life in Christ is a free gift, how can we buy it? And that is a key point in the first two parables, because that sentence is repeated twice. He sold everything he had and bought it. Well, in Holy Scriptures, we also find numerous instances of God doing the buying and selling. It was Jesus who was ransomed for our sins. He paid the ransom. He himself tells us, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And ransom means to pay the price, to free a person who is enslaved or imprisoned or captured or, I guess in this case, buried. The Bible repeatedly states that we're saved by grace through faith as a gift of God, not works. Thus, in the second interpretation, Jesus is the one who does the buying and selling. He is the one who does the finding. As in many parables, he finds the lost sheep, the lost coin. In the parable of the workers in the vineyard, he finds the workers. And at the wedding banquet, he sends out his servants to invite all who they can find. So what is the treasure? Or who is the treasure? Well, in the Old Testament, it was common to call the people God's treasured possession. In fact, it even got into their liturgy whenever they sang Psalm 135. "For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession." But as you can guess, the danger lurks when people start to read into this interpretation the idea that God found some, saved some, bought some because of something in them. Something worthy, in view of their worthiness or faith. But this is just intuitu fide all over again, or another version. It is only that as God looks through his eyes of grace alone that a most incredible thing happens. He looks at us and he actually sees what he will make to be a treasure and a pearl. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." So think about the comfort that this gives. When life gets out of control, when you feel just buried with your troubles, burdened with sin and guilt, you feel like you're buried in the ground, lost, alone, it's dark, it's hopeless. But don't despair, because if God does the finding, he knows where you are, he knows what you need, and he will not abandon you. Or compare yourself to other people, as sometimes we do. Sometimes we feel like, well, God certainly could forget me. I'm not worth that much. Other people just seem to sparkle like a pearl or a treasure. Their spiritual life seems to shine. But I know that inside I'm filthy, and I'm not a flawless pearl. And even on the outside, I come to the end of the day and wonder, why did I say that? My deeds and words lack the luster and the beauty of a treasure or a pearl. But again, take hope, because Jesus comes to give you value and worth. When the lost are buried, they are found by Jesus, and he cleans them up through his righteousness and holy baptism. This is how Paul describes the church. This is how St. Paul describes us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of the word and washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Then the gospel reading ends with the third parable about a fish being caught in a net and brought into the boat. It's kind of a gruesome picture, really. Good and bad fish thrashing about at the end of the world. And the angels will come and gather the evil and cast them into the fiery furnace. And if that's not enough, Jesus then provides nightmare sound effects. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does that sound like? How would you explain weeping and gnashing of teeth? Something like maybe that 15th century painting by Hieronymus Bosch. He kind of captures it. Or it's sort of captured in that Norwegian artist Edvard Munch's painting, The Scream. But Jesus concludes many of his parables with another sound. When the lost sheep and the lost coin are found, he says there's rejoicing. I tell you, there is joy before the angels in heaven over one sinner who repents. Likewise, in the song of the prodigal son, the lost son, the house, you can just picture this house and the music and the singing coming out of the home. And as always, the same is true in this house we are here today. This is a place of rejoicing because we are the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the lost pearl, the hidden treasure. And we feast and we rejoice with angels and archangels in this place and with all the company of heaven, all the treasures and pearls that have been found. Such is the sound of the liturgy here and in eternity. So, is Jesus our treasure, our priceless treasure, or are we his treasure? What about the sensus literalis unus est? Can you read these parables and do you understand these things? That's the question Jesus asked his disciples and after telling these three parables. And of course, what did they say? Oh, yes. Well, what about you? Was Jesus simply a little sloppy here, kind of giving you a little freedom to go whichever way you want? Do you really understand? There is something comforting about Jesus. We being the treasure and Jesus finding us, as we sing in Psalm 135. I like that. But in the end, we have to put up with our church musicians. We have to put up with our hymn writers. They're a subversive lot because they're going to have us sing during the preparation of the altar for the body and blood for the Lord's Supper, Jesus' priceless treasure. So what are we going to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be quite happy to sing that because Jesus is our treasure and we are his treasure. In the name of Jesus.